Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Shelley Wilson Show. I'm an intuitive medium, a Reiki master, and a spiritual teacher. My mission is to assist others on their own journey into consciousness and encourage them to live an authentic life through awareness and empowerment. Coming from a place of respect, truth, integrity, and love, I honor your free will and recognize that you are co-creating your reality with the universe. My intention is to bring understanding, help you to heal from the past, and realize your full potential. I invite you to begin your life in a new way and tap into your inner power as you explore who you really are. Refrain from simply existing and elect to live your life fully without regret. It is time to let go of the past, live in the present, and look to the future, for it is this attitude that will transform you. Today's special guest is Bob Olson. Bob is a former skeptic, private investigator, and a nationally recognized expert on the afterlife. His new book, Answers About the Afterlife, a private investigator's 15-year research unlocks the mysteries of life after death, presents thoughtful, serious, and practical answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked questions about death and dying, the afterlife, spirits, psychics, reincarnation, near-death experiences, deathbed visions, and much more. He's the creator of bestpsychicmediums.com, bestpsychicdirectory.com, and afterlifetv.com. And I'm delighted to welcome Bob to the show today. Welcome, Bob. Hello.
Hello there, Shelley. Thank you for having me on. I'm really looking forward to this.
I am too. This is going to be fun. And just for the listeners, definitely excited to have you here. First of all, I've read the book and it is fabulous. Definitely recommend it. And got lots of pages, dog-eared Bob, so I know that there's lots to talk about. But I want to say too how thankful I am that you wrote this book, because I will tell you from my own experience as a medium, as a healer, even as a teacher, that you've done your homework, and you've just done an awesome job, and I think that you very consciously and very matter-of-factly taken the time to explain, and you've done it so that you're speaking to us rather than above us in easy terms to understand, because I love how you put in parentheses a lot of the definitions so that people can see it from your perception, but you've done just a great job with this book.
Thank you so much. It means a lot. It means a lot coming from you, and I think you can relate, you know, that you and I both, I'm sure, over the years, I got so many questions, you know, from people over the years, and these are the same questions that I seem to get over and over and over, and so I knew that I wanted to be able to put them all in one place, my answers to those all in one place, because what I found, and this was probably 10 years ago when I had more time to be emailing people these long answers.
Right.
They would send a question, I'd email them this long answer, and then they'd send back three more questions, because when they read the answer, it would make them think of more questions, right? Isn't that
right,
the way it happens?
Of course.
And so I recognized that people would get a lot more out of it if all these questions were in one place, so that they'd be able to read them all and sort of gain the foundation that I hope they will gain by reading this book.
Exactly. Well, I fully, you know, in recognizing it, and as I indicated before we went live on air, I just got back from Lilydale. And this was my first visit to Lilydale, and Lilydale is quite well known, especially at the HBO documentary, No One Dies in Lilydale, that it's in a spiritualist community, and a lot of mediums are located there, they reside there, but people go searching for answers, and, you know, recognizing that people want to know their loved ones there, and even in private sessions that I had the honor of doing while I was there, you know, people are looking up and around, and I said, talk to me, allow you to recognize your spirits, you know, your loved ones in spirit are here in this room, rather than looking up, feel them around you.
Yeah, definitely. It's interesting. I saw that same documentary, and before that, yeah, I have to admit, you know, I think it was the skeptic in me. I thought, oh, Lilydale just sounds kind of hokey, kind of corny even, you know.
Right.
And then I was asked to speak there, and so I went, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago myself, and I recognized, no, it's completely the opposite of that. You know, so many legitimate people with really a solid purpose in what they're doing. All those people, all the mediums that live there and work there, and I fell in love with the place because of it.
Oh, absolutely. I'm getting chills, and spirit always gives me chills when that is truth. And you know, to begin with, I use the term spirit as collective energy, as our angels, our guides, our loved ones on the other side. But what I loved, Bob, absolutely, is how you defined the difference between spirit and soul. So I invite you to go ahead and tell the listeners your perception and definition of that.
All right. I'll do my best. I will say that I write better than I speak, and probably because I can give it a lot more time to thinking about it and editing it, but I'll do my best.
Okay.
This is for me over the years. It eventually, this is what I recognize, that a lot of people are calling spirit and soul the same thing, and I was too. And then eventually I realized that I now define soul as that part of us that we would, many people might call their higher self. And it's that part of us that remains in the spirit world all the time. And the soul is able to enjoy many lifetimes. And by doing that, I believe that the soul creates a part of itself, which I call the spirit, to experience a life. And so my soul then created the spirit of Bob to go into this physical body that I have now to experience the lifetime that I'm living. And when I leave this, when I die physically, I will then return back to the spirit world and rejoin my soul, become part of it. I was never really separated from it, but as a human being, I feel like I am. But I will rejoin that part in the spirit world, and yet I will still retain my personality as Bob. I will still retain who I am and know who I am, and I exist as both. One analogy that you can use for understanding that reunion, really, and the separation between the two is my last name is Olson, and my family is the Olsons, and so I am an Olson. And I would use that comparison as the Olsen is the soul. And yet I went off on my own when I left to live by myself, to go to college, to become an adult. But every so often I return back to you know, my family, and we get together. And there I am, an Olsen again, but still Bob. Separately, I am Bob, but individually and collectively, we are the Olsons, and so that's my sort of explanation of spirit and soul. Now, the other way people can look at it is that I think of the soul as the ocean, and that the spirit is the wave that goes to the shore to experience what the shore is like. Now, all the while, this is a great analogy because the wave never really leaves the ocean. We know that. We can see that. And yet it is sort of separate in its own, and it experiences the shore in a way that no other wave will do. It has its own experience, and then it rushes back and becomes one with the ocean again, the soul. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. That was a great way to explain it, too. And, you know, I think that, you know, obviously, we recognize that people may or may not believe in reincarnation, and that's okay, but when we can allow ourselves to see life, to see these experiences, to see everything from that higher soul perspective, recognizing consciousness, how we want to look at it, but seeing, you know, as drops in the water or the waves in the ocean, however it may be, I think you've definitely defined it and explained it very clearly. And to me also, Bob, is seeing that sometimes people are able to understand that, to acknowledge it, and sometimes it may take a little longer than others.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I begin the book, I end the book by telling everybody, don't take my word for any of this. I don't want anybody. I want to inspire you to have your own experiences and do your own investigation of the afterlife.
Right.
And
right.
And but what the book does is it sort of tells you where you can go to investigate it on your own. My first 2 years, I say, you know, I've been investigating it for 15 years. Well, it was actually 17 years. But the first 2 years, I didn't know where to go. I didn't know how to investigate. And so I didn't find any evidence. So I don't count those first 2 years because I didn't have a book like this to sort of guide me as to
right.
where to go to look for that evidence. And so in that way, I that's why I wanted to put this out there. But I definitely want people to make up their own minds.
Yeah, and I think that's always good because when we can see and practice discernment, you know, some people, and we have to just acknowledge this, but some people take things at face value rather than, you know, testing the waters or seeing what resonates with them. And you definitely encourage people to, you know, check in with themselves.
Yeah, and what's interesting is, you know, this whole spirit-soul thing, it plants a seed in people's minds. And if it's new to them, then they might not be ready to accept it right away. And so, but it's sort of planted this seed that they can think about as time goes on. And then they can see how it actually applies, how it applies to their life, how it applies to their spiritual experiences and spiritual beliefs. And what many people are finding is that it actually helps to better define and answer the questions, better answer the questions that they have. One, you talked about reincarnation. One question that I had from many people and for many years before I really understood the difference between spirit and soul, I wasn't able to answer this question, which is what happens if, we'll say, my father in spirit reincarnates before I die and go back home to the spirit world? Is he still going to be there? Is he going to be there to greet me? And with this spirit-soul understanding that I present at the beginning of the book, yes, he will still be there.
Yeah.
Because if his soul decides to reincarnate, it will actually do so through another spirit. Your father will still be able to, I mean, your father will still be there, and he'll be able to experience that other life because he shares the same soul. But your father himself, his spirit, will remain in the spirit world.
Yes, and I think, you know, understanding that because, you know, just to be honest, too, there's a lot of fear involved, whether this is conditioning or religious teachings or whatever it may be, there's a lot of fear about dying. And I do believe and I recognize with your book what a wonderful tool, what a wonderful gift that this provides people to have more at peace with that understanding, too.
You know, it was something that happens with me, and I never knew that was going to be the result. When I first started investigating life after death, I did so because my father had died. He was only 64. It was pretty young for a father to die. I was in my 30s, and I wondered where he went. This was the first time I really started thinking about this subject. And so once I started investigating, it was more about my own curiosity. But what happened over time, and maybe this took, you know, the first few years were certainly the most significant of all the years that I investigated. But I found that I had this inner peace about me because I no longer feared death. And I realized that many of the fears, many of the maladies, both physical and psychological, that we have in life occur because of our fear of death and our not being able to understand it. And with people who are grieving, I feel like, no, you know, this, my book, this understanding that I have now about life after death, it isn't going to take away my grief entirely, but it certainly will comfort a lot of the fears that I have that will add to my suffering. And that's where I think it really can help out a lot.
Well, I definitely, you know, acknowledge that once again. And you know, the thing is, too, is, you know, looking at grieving just for a moment, and I recognize that it isn't something that happens just in a moment, but just to look at this. You know, everyone is going to grieve differently. Everyone has their moments where things are really good, and there's those moments when things are not so good. But I do feel, once again, that many of the questions that are posed in this book and then the answers based on your research and your perception and even the acknowledgement of utilizing mediums as a way to connect with those that have passed, I think it's very encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, it was, and again, you know, what happens with me is when I have an experience myself, that is really significant. I get enthusiastic about it to the point where I want to share it with others. Mm-hmm. And that's what all my work has ever been about. And that's what this book is about, is me just wanting to share my own experience with others so they can go on and have the same experience. And my, you know, the first evidence I found was through a reading with a medium, and that still to this day probably was the most significant for me. It doesn't have to be everyone's path. People can, there are many different avenues to understanding life after death, but I think it's one of the easiest and certainly one of the best that you can get, because when you're talking to a stranger, and that's what I encourage people, go to a medium who's a stranger, because they don't know anything about your life. And if all of a sudden they're telling you about your loved ones in spirit, and they might even be, you know, calling them by their first names, but they're describing them, what they used to look like physically, how they died, what they did for work, and they're telling you memories that you had together. How, you know, this stranger could never know this stuff about my loved ones and my memories and my life, and that kind of evidence just can be life-changing for you, don't you think?
Oh, I absolutely agree. And as you're talking, I'm just reflecting back to my own time in Lilydale. This weekend I had the opportunity to do private sessions, which is quite an honor, because typically they only allow the registered mediums, but because I did teach a workshop, they offered me that opportunity. And, you know, the people that came through, I definitely remind them that each, you know, one of us has our own personality, the way that we deliver messages, and recognize, too, that it comes through as thoughts, feelings, impressions, and memories. And it's a matter of how I perceive the information and then in turn convey it to the person. And, you know, we are just that tube. John Holland uses that phrase a lot. But in the same sense, it's my senses perceiving, conveying it to the sitter or the client, and allowing them to recognize that. But many of the experiences that I had this weekend with others, you know, it provided them the understanding that their loved ones are with them, and providing them with the insight and memories and messages that they're very much witnessing their life as it is now.
And that's the part that can be life-changing. And
yeah.
What's amazing to me is how you and all the other mediums, you know, the level of trust that's required in order to do that, because, you know, you sit down with somebody, or if you get up on stage and, like an inspiration stump or something, and you start giving random readings to people, you don't know what's going to come through. You don't know if anything's
right.
going to come through. And then when it does, you don't know. Sometimes it's silly stuff, you know what I mean?
It is. It absolutely is.
And yet it's the silly stuff that it seems to me, my experience, and I've seen so many medium demonstrations and, you know, and readings, it's the silly stuff that means the most to a
it
lot
is.
Of people.
Yeah, and you know, I made my own observations, and I'm not judging by any means. I'm simply making observations, but I do recognize how people work differently, and how significant it is to have evidential information. You know, whether it is a description, a name, a memory, because sometimes, and you know, I recognize that some of these responses come through seem very manufactured, for lack of a better way of saying it. And I even myself question, do you really have a connection? Because I'm not feeling anything other than some good feeling words here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's just it. And you never know. Sometimes when people get on stage, I actually knew a medium who kept using the same phrase because she got a laugh from the audience about it,
mm-hmm.
you know. She was a great
right.
medium, but unfortunately, you know, she was so wanting the audience to, you know, have an entertainment experience
mm-hmm.
that she sort of lost some integrity by doing it in that way.
Right.
And yet at the same time I saw that same medium, you know, before she started doing that, give amazing, you know, like healing messages to people because she was willing to just trust and go with whatever it was that was coming through. But, you know, I think mediums go through stages in their career. And I'm not aware of this person anymore, and I hope that she's, you know, come through all that and come out the other side, you know, with more integrity. But it happens. It certainly does happen.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is too, is as I see that each one of us are having our own human life experience, so it's all part of that life experience.
Well, that's it. You know, it was interesting. I wrote, it's probably still online somewhere. I wrote an article called "Mediums Are People Too," and this was early on in my journey, and I was doing a lot of testing of lots of different mediums, and I was meeting a lot of them, and you know, I was recognizing, you know, how some were like the person I just described. Others were very competitive with one another. I saw all the character flaws that existed, and at the time, because this was early for me, I was putting mediums a little bit on a pedestal as though they were somehow more spiritual than other people. And then all of a sudden, you know, it occurred to me, no, these people are humans. They're growing just the same way as all of us, and we have to take that into account as clients of these people, that mm-hmm. they're just human beings, and they can have good days, and they can have bad days, and they have flaws, and they have fears, just like the rest of us.
Exactly.
They just happen to have this very amazing ability for which they can help people with.
Right, and you know, I love how you say that, because the thing, too, is, you know, in my own work, there's days where I question, you know, am I supposed to be doing this and go through these moments? Because my wake-up was literally just a few years ago. And even though I knew things growing up, it's been full steam ahead. And, you know, sometimes there is that competitiveness that some other people wish to exhibit, but I don't partake in that. But recognizing, too, that, you know, it's like this own self-imposed restrictions of, is this going to be a good reading? Will people benefit? Will, you know, the information come through so that they understand it? That kind of thing. And a lot of it is just trusting, being that conduit for spirit and just being that channel to let the information come through and trust that the messages are there for those individuals that can benefit from it.
You know, and that's what makes it so exciting in some ways. I think it's one of the reasons that mediums keep going up to the plate, because you just never really know, and it feels so good when the messages come through and they really, you know, hit home. But I know a medium who's in her, she's in her 70s now, and I've known her at least 12 years, and she's been doing this her whole life, and she still tells me that, you know, she questions herself sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and what, you know, and that's the key to being a good medium, because if you think you know all the answers, that's when maybe you're sort of gone a little off balance,
mm-hmm.
because nobody does. Nobody knows all
right.
the answers, and you want to keep questioning it to sort of keep you on track, but yet at the same time, it keeps it interesting for you too, because you just never really know what to expect from each and every new reading, and I think that's what keeps it fun, right?
Of course it is. Absolutely, Bob. And, you know, I keep thinking, too, you know, everyone has that hint of skepticism in them, you know, because if something isn't tangible, you know, how do we know it's real? And so even through your own life, your own work, you know, the private investigator and now the work that you're doing now, you know, that's part of the analytical brain where you want answers. And so, you know, once again, coming back to this book, the time that you took to do the research, to ask people, and no doubt I'm sure that you have so many notes, I can only imagine how much information you've actually compiled to condense it to very easily explain it to the reader, the information coming through. So once again, greatly appreciated.
Yeah, thanks. It was a work of love, no question about it, and yet most of that information was in my head. You know, in some ways, it all sort of downloaded just onto the page, just, you know, effortlessly as I was writing it along. I think I had answered many of these questions so many times over the years that the answers were there already. It was probably, you know, it was the editing part that was a little gruesome. You know, you're just going over and over, and you just want to make sure that everything is said just the right way so
right.
as people don't misinterpret what you're trying to say. I think that's what's
right.
most difficult about it. And that's
and
why I say, you know, my writing's better than my speaking, because I don't always have that opportunity to come up with that perfect word. Yeah.
Yes, and so I recognize, too, you gave credit to your wife, Melissa, for her work in assisting and getting this book out, because in the acknowledgments you very much you noted that Melissa's read every word of this book about 1 million times. So definitely credit her part in putting this book out.
I really have to. I'll be honest with you, I have no doubt in my mind that you could have done this interview with her. She might have actually done a better job than me. She knows this stuff as well as I do. It's, you know, I'm always talking about it. When I get enthusiastic about this stuff and I just have to share it with others, well, of course, I share everything with her first. And we've been together a long time. She was 12, I was 15. So all through my journey doing this, investigating life after death, she's heard all the stories a million times, because then she hears me tell other people about these things. And she helps me edit my book, so she reads it and reads it and reads it until she knows it's right. And there's a big part of her that is within here. And I wanted to acknowledge her, but she'll never really get the proper credit that she should, because I think any person's spouse who is willing to, you know, sort of share their journey with them in the way that my wife has deserves much more credit than they'll ever get.
Absolutely, which was probably why I was guided to go ahead and mention her, wasn't it?
I'm glad you did. You know, you're the first person to have done that, and I appreciate that. I'm glad that we were able to talk about that.
Yes, yeah, well, absolutely. I see the importance, too, and I recognize, you know, what a journey, and once again, seeing it from that higher soul perspective that, as you acknowledge, you've been together a long time, and no doubt in past lives together, too, and, you know, part of this lifetime, I'm sure that she's been quite a teacher to you, as you to her, and I just feel, that she's done a lot of patience and smiling and observing as you've been undergoing this transformation.
I joke with her. I said my next book is going to be called My Wife, My Guru, because totally, I'm the one who keeps bumping into walls, and you know, she's walking through doorways trying to show me how it's done, and she serves as an example to me all the time, and I think many of our friends and family members, and certainly our spouses, do this for us. Constantly, and again, you know, they're mirroring things to us, the lessons that we're supposed to learn on a daily basis, and maybe sometimes we don't give them the proper credit because, you know, we don't want them to know how important they are to our own personal growth.
That's the truth, and you know what we see too a lot of times is, if we see the challenges, we see the negativity or the bad things, shall we say, and this is all a matter of perception, but we don't see the actual blessings and the lessons that we're learning in regards to those interactions.
You know, that's a lesson in life right there. I mean, if that's all we talked about today and people were able to walk away from this idea that, you know, if we focus upon what's positive in our lives, and you could do that with every relationship that you have. We can always find fault with any one of our friends or family members, but if we try to find what's wonderful, what's a gift in that person, then not only is it going to help that relationship grow and we're going to be able to experience more love between us, but it's going to make everybody, you, the other person, happier in life. When all we do is focus on those blessings, and it's a secret to life, I do believe. The other thing I want to say is that you know, I don't know about your husband, but I met so many mediums, and their spouses or significant others in one way or another so often are not interested in mediumship whatsoever. They're more skeptical, even though their loved ones does this, and they don't deny it. Like, I know, I've seen it enough times, I know what you're doing, but they don't care, and what it does, I from my experience, is it keeps them grounded. Because it'd be easy, especially if you're new at this, it would be easy to sort of fly off into the cosmos somewhere. And all you think about is, you know, spirituality and the mediumship that you're doing, or the psychic work if you're a psychic. But the spouses always seem to keep them grounded, keep them down here on Earth, and not just be living that all the time.
You're so right. So you must be very tuned in to Bob, because even last night I've been married 25 years and got back and from Lilydale, and my husband, you know, showed some interest, but he's never actually seen me work. And, you know, his main comment is, you've changed so much. And I didn't take that as a positive or a negative. I just simply took it as a matter of perception that I'm not the same person he married. And I, you know, personally think that's a good thing, because I've never been happier. But in the same sense, sometimes there's fear involved when they see that transformation.
Well, you know, we as human beings as a whole don't like change. And I've seen relationships break off because of this, especially when people are new at psychic or mediumship abilities, and they do tend to get very, very focused on it. So it's always good for the significant other or the spouse to show some interest. So I like the idea that they ground them, but it's also good that they show some interest. But you're right, it brings up fear of change. And if it's too much, too fast, it can be very threatening to a relationship. It's good for, you know, that's where balance and harmony really is an important factor in any relationship.
You are absolutely right with that. And, you know, with that being said, I love the acknowledgement of synchronicity and making those conscious connections and, you know, people do coming in to teach us, to provide us with those opportunities for learning and growth. But I love the idea, too, and you talk about this in your book, about how our spirit guides and even our loved ones can communicate with us. And main, the key notes that you've indicated are using our intuition, by using messengers, by even events, and by coincidence. So is there anything you want to touch on about that?
Oh, my goodness. You know,
you could say so much, couldn't you?
I could, and I think it's one of the most important questions and answers in the book, because it's something I think about every single day, and this brings into that sort of idea about awareness. I think for myself, investigating life after death taught me an awareness about looking for the signs and signals from either our loved ones in spirit or spirit guides. And I don't talk a lot about spirit guides in there, but that's why this chapter is so important, because I believe that our spirit guides are trying to guide us toward having the experiences that we came here to have. And I think that they make the attempts to do that and try to guide us through these four ways. One, our intuition. Two, through coincidences. You might call it divine coincidences or synchronicity. Through messengers, other people, they can get other people to say things to us. And it could even be a song that comes on the radio, or a DJ says something that kind of wakes you up a little bit. Or events, and I talk about events like, you know, if you get fired from a job, or, you know, maybe, you know, if someone's kicked out of their house for some reason that they're renting and they have to move somewhere else, you'll break your ankle. These are sort of on the negative side, but they certainly, it's that, you know, you close a window, open a doorway sort of thing. So events force us to sort of make changes in our lives. What I think is that it's our spirit guides sort of doing what they can as little puppeteers to make things happen in order to guide us toward our life's purpose. And I think our life's purpose is just to have experiences in life. I do believe that we want to have certain experiences in each and every life, and so it leads us toward that. I also believe that if we miss some of the signs and signals, like if we're not following what our intuition is telling us, we'll get other opportunities for that. So you don't have to worry that you're messing things up and you miss some of the signs that your spirit guides are sending you, because they'll just keep sending you more. And so I think you eventually catch on, and hopefully it just leads us into a direction in our life that where we feel like our life is flowing. We don't feel like we're swimming against the current, but we're going with the current.
Yes, that totally makes sense. And as you're telling this story, as I indicated, I read your book while I was traveling this weekend on the plane, and so it was like perfect messages coming at the perfect time. But on Sunday, I went to visit Niagara Falls, and I bought tickets to do a tour, and you know, it was just like everything was perfect. And, you know, the bus was leaving, everything on time. And then she tells me, no, it's actually full. And I'm like, okay, it wasn't meant to be. And then the driver gets there and there was a cancellation. So she went ahead and ran my card again, put me on it. I'm riding, get to the next stop, and he's picking up people. Then he gets a call, and he was very frustrated because dispatch had an issue, and I really wasn't supposed to be on it, so he had to take me back. And I saw that as a huge sign that I was not supposed to take the tour, that I was supposed to do it by myself. And in doing so, I decided to cross the border, see it from both sides and everything, but I encountered a gentleman that provided me with the perfect message with just a few words. And as I was taking pictures of the falls, he came up to me and said, could I take your picture? And my first inclination was the humidity wreaked havoc on my hair based on my perception. And he says, oh, my hair's a mess. And he says, it's who you are. And I let him take the picture. But in that moment, Bob, I was very emotional, and I realized my spirit guides just wanted me to allow that experience to happen, to move through that energy of, if your hair doesn't have to be perfect all the time, let the picture be taken. It's who you are.
Oh, it's a beautiful story. I mean, and it teaches us so much in so many ways. You know, it's interesting because sometimes a lot of people, this is what happens. We come to this realization. Because you have such an awareness, because of the work that you do, the things that you've studied and the experiences that you've had, you have this great awareness, so you're able to learn that lesson. Having a one-day experience like that, sometimes people, that awareness doesn't come until maybe they hit rock bottom. Rock bottom can mean all sorts of things, but I think a lot of us can relate to it, where there's a time in our life where things, everything has just been going so bad, and we get to the point where we don't care what we look like, we don't care what other people think of us, we just don't care anymore. I remember Eckhart Tolle talking about, this was really one of his first moments of awareness, where a similar thing happened to him. He was homeless, everything was going bad for him, he was sleeping on a park bench. And it was that moment of clarity when nothing else mattered, he just didn't care anymore, that he really found out who he was.
Yeah.
And I think those can, even though those are, they can seem very negative and like it's a horrible thing at the time, if you actually have that clarity in life, it's a huge gift to us. And everything changes from that point on, because once we recognize who we really are, and we're not all those things. We're not how beautiful we look. You know, we're not our bodies. We're not our credentials. We're not, you know, our awards on the shelf. We're, when you really realize who you are at your core essence, it's your whole life can change from that point on. And that you had that experience just in that one short day. How nice, huh?
Yes, yes. And, you know, and I knew definitely that, you know, there was a sign that I wasn't supposed to be on the bus. And then when it happened twice, it was like definitely not supposed to be on the bus. And then, too, just to add to this, I saw that part of what the tour entailed, and I didn't realize, and then it was the Maid of the Mist and the Cave of the Winds, and I would have got soaked. And so I was like, yeah, I would not have been happy. I wouldn't have wanted to get soaked. So, you know, my guides were looking out for me on that behalf, too.
No, you're right. And, you know, it's interesting because we have free will, and so our free will trumps anything that our spirit guides are trying to do for us. And that might seem like a good thing, but sometimes it's working against what they're trying to help us out, the way they're trying to help us out. And so you could have probably raised a stink and, you know, made a scene, and they probably
exactly.
would have let you go on because
yeah.
of that. And it might not have been the right thing for you. It doesn't sound like it would have been.
Mm-mm. You know, and what she was, the woman was so very gracious. And then when I got dropped back off, you know, because there were people on the bus complaining because they went through all the stops and had to bring me back to where I was. And, you know, and the people specifically behind me, and they said, why do we got to go back and this and that? And I said, well, I'm sure it's because of me, and this is what happened. And, you know, their whole energy shift. But when I got off the bus, you know, the woman said, I'm just so very sorry. And I said, it's okay. It's everything's perfect. And she said, you're such a sweetie. I'm just so thankful. And I said, it's all good. I promise you. And I didn't feel bad or mad or anything. I just trusted that this was perfect. Everything was perfect.
That, again, there's so much to that story because your reaction to that person. I mean, who knows? If you had reacted differently.
I mean, I could have been upset. Yeah, but I wasn't. Yeah.
Right, and if you were, I mean, who knows? You might have got her fired. You might have got her demoted. You might have got her in trouble in some way. It could have created this ripple of negative effects for lots of people. This is one of those things, you know, when we pass and we go into the afterlife, you know, we go back home to the spirit world. We have what's called a life review. And in that life review, we see how our choices and actions affected other people, not just the immediate other people, perhaps the person that we talked to or yelled at or whatever, the ripple effect of how that affected everybody else from that point on. So you might have really made it difficult for this woman. She's in contact with all kinds of people from the public, and she might have affected so many other lives that day in a negative way, but because you didn't, she probably affected them in a very positive way. In your life review, you'll be able to see how that choice positively affected all those people.
Yes, and I can feel the power of your words, so I just want to acknowledge that too, because you know, I've not always been who I am now. I recognize that, but I recognize consciousness, mindfulness, awareness, and I do recognize that taking a moment to even acknowledge people, to reach out to someone when you feel that they have a need, to let them know that they are supported and loved, and to even just say thank you. You know, I took it upon myself that every person I encounter, and I do this regularly every moment to let them know they're acknowledged. And I think that, you know, talking about the life review and talking about your book, Bob, that, you know, having that ripple effect, we can be in control and be conscious of how we're choosing to respond.
Well, you know, I couldn't agree more. You know, before I wrote Answers About the Afterlife, I was just learning all this for the first time myself. And so I was I wasn't very aware, and I didn't know this stuff years ago. And so one of the things is I'm learning about life after death. I'm learning about this idea of the life review and how we experience on an emotional level what all our choices and how our choices and actions affected other people, both in the negative and the positive. And when you learn that and when you recognize that this is truth, because you learn it from people who communicated through mediums, people in spirit who communicated through mediums, when you hear the same thing from people who have had near-death experiences, when you talk to people who have had what's called a life between lives regression, where they go into a past life, and then after that lifetime's passing, they keep going. They go into the spirit world. When all these things, all these experiences people are having, in my case, I was able to experience a lot of these things or talk to people who have had near-death experiences and recognize they're all saying the same thing. And a lot of them are talking about this life review. And when you realize, oh, my God, this is real, and you really take it to heart, it changes who you are. And it makes you want to be a better person, not just because you fear how lousy you're going to feel if you do things in a negative way. But, one, you want to feel great when that happens. But you also know now, you're thinking in terms of the ripple effect in life.
Right.
That,
right.
You know, what's that story they do about the butterfly on one side of the world creates the hurricane and another on the opposite side of the world, you know?
Yeah.
It's that oneness in the world and how the everything that we do when we have interactions with other people can affect many, many people because of how that interaction went. When you recognize the truth in that, it makes you want to be a better person.
Of course. And, you know, the thing is, too, we have to be really conscious of not beating ourselves up for who we were and recognizing it was part of what makes us who we are today. Even the skepticism.
Even the skepticism, that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be who I am today if I didn't start off as a big skeptic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't, you know, these things probably wouldn't have had the impact that they had on me. My wife was always a believer. She wasn't skeptical at all about these sorts of things. And as a result, she didn't really need the evidence I needed the evidence because of my skepticism, and now I'm able to share all that with other people, you know. So my wife, I mean, she affects people in amazingly positive ways on a daily basis, but she, if it were not for, she'll be the first person to say, if it were not for my skepticism, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today, because I wouldn't have been as amazed by all the things that I have learned, to the point where I just can't wait to tell other people about it, you know. So our changes really create who we are because of the changes. And it also is a great reminder that other people can change too. So we never want to give up on people who maybe are not acting the way that maybe we think they should. We can serve as great examples to them and hope that maybe they'll turn things around in a more positive direction.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, the thing, too, we recognize that when our loved ones pass away, and seeing that that can be a catalyst for change in our life, too.
You know, it can. I mean, I think every time someone passes in our life, that's a little bit of a wake-up call in on many levels. And one is just to show us how short life can be and remind us to not take any one day for granted, you know.
Absolutely. And you know, and I think, too, that so many people, you know, they wait. You know, they wait on a diagnosis, or they wait on something to happen before they really start living their life. And I feel that it's important that each person, you know, live as though each day could be their last. But in the same sense, don't live in fear. Live in joy and live in trust, and just recognizing that each experience is part of our intended life experience, and perhaps even recognizing, too, that with a life review, and you talk about this in the book, that when they choose to come back again, that they plan it. They plan experiences.
I do. I do believe that our souls plan our lifetime, and I a lot of times, some things we know immediately, because the physical things like where we are born, who our parents are, what kind of socioeconomic background our parents come from, what religion our parents come from, and then what we look like physically, you know, all these kinds of things are definites. The moment we're born, we know what those things are, and then there are all these kinds of things that I call potentials. So, you know, we have the potential perhaps to get a certain illness. Doesn't mean we're going to get it. It means we have the potential to do it, or we have the potential. In my life, a story that a lot of people don't know is I went through a depression in the late 80s and early 90s, and to the point where I had suicidal ideation. I had a lot of thoughts of suicide. I had the potential to take my life because of that potential that my soul knew I was going to have when I was born. Now, my free will got to choose whether I was going to take my life or not take my life, and I'm grateful now that I did not take my life. But what the other potentials that exist is that my wife came into this lifetime with the potential that she might lose a husband due to suicide. And my parents came into the potential that they might lose a son due to suicide, and friends, and it goes on and on. And these are the potentials that we come into life with, and it's free will. In my case, it was my free will that affected my wife's potential of knowing what that horrible experience might be for her. But her soul was willing to accept it. It was an experience that she hadn't had yet, and she would have learned something from it. And I will tell you, it was interesting because my wife actually got to a point where I was so sick I was not working anymore. I was sleeping 18 hours a day, really to escape the pain of my depression. And my wife was working and paying the bills, and she was coming home every day, and she knew that one day she might find me having taken my life. And she actually got to the point, this is how she's so much more advanced than me spiritually, she had got to the point where she accepted that. If I had done that, that at least I would not be suffering anymore. And she could be at peace knowing that and recognizing that, you know, that was the result that I chose, and she was okay with it. She didn't want it to happen. She certainly wanted me to live.
Right.
But she wasn't going to do everything that she could to try to prevent it, because when someone's in this kind of a situation, state of mind, you can't prevent them from doing something like that if they make up their minds to do it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, so thank you for having the courage to share that and, you know, recognizing too, Bob, that as you do share, as we all share our experiences, we're helping one another on this journey into consciousness.
Well, yeah, you know, you're welcome. I write about suicide in the book, and, you know, I wanted people, I think in there I mentioned that I did experience this. I wanted people to know. I'm coming at this from someone who had suicidal thoughts, who potentially could have taken his life. I'm not coming at it from a place of complete ignorance. I understand what those people are going through. I even understand why many people take their own life. But I wanted to explain it from the other side, you know, what happens in the afterlife after people have taken their own lives. And so I thought it was an important message to include in there.
No, it definitely is, because, you know, the religious aspect of it is that there's a lot of fear involved, a lot of punishment and things like that. And even in my own work, I just find that those receive more healing.
Yeah, that's right. No question about it. You know, I personally have never seen evidence of hell. Now, it can be a controversial subject because so many people want to believe in hell, and it's a much deeper subject than we could possibly cover with any depth here. But I haven't seen it. What I have experienced is that some people will consider what we're going through here is hell.
Yeah.
Because there's no evil in the spirit world, our souls choose to have a physical life because there is illness and injury and hatred and fear here in the physical world. And since we can't have that as spiritual beings, we come and have those experiences as physical beings. Because we learn by experiencing every side to every possible experience. So in other words, if you want to learn about love, if you experience hatred, you will know more about love. It's kind of like if you want to learn more about and really appreciate your thumb, hit your thumb with a hammer one day
and feel it.
And not be able to use that thumb for a while. And that's a negative experience, right? But you learn to appreciate a healthy thumb a lot more as a result of it, right?
Exactly. And, you know, talking just briefly once again about the perception of what we perceive to be hell and heaven and such. And to me, as you indicated, we very much can be experiencing that, both realities on Earth at this time. And the other thing to look at, too, is, to me, how our loved ones convey to us what their heaven looks like many times is, you know, indicative of what their reality was here on Earth, and it's having everything. And you talk about this, too, about how our loved ones can be anywhere at any time, you know, experiencing different things. You've used many scenarios, and I think that's just wonderful and comforting for people to know as well.
It is. It's, you know, it's nice to know that our loved ones are watching over us. And one of the things that we get confused and trip over a little bit by is this idea of space and time. And those things don't exist in the spirit world. So my father, who is in spirit, is able to be with me and my sister and my mother and anybody else he wants to, all at the same moment. He's able to focus on any one of our lives very individually, and yet all at the same time. And I had this experience where I was at a workshop just to experience it. This was very early on, about psychic development. And my wife and I went together, and we had partners that we were working with. We were trying our hand at mediumship. And both our partners were sort of working as, you know, new mediums. They had never done it before. And my wife was able to get a reading from my father at the exact same moment that I was getting one.
Oh, wow.
And he was saying very different things to both of us.
Yes, and it's both what you needed, I'm sure.
It is. And it was very interesting because it was very metaphorical. With me, he was coming through, and he had a lot of regrets over things that he had done or probably could have done better. And I was, you know, I was like, forgive you, you know, I forgive you, Dad, you know,
yeah,
everything's
okay.
Fine. It's okay. But he was coming through to my wife with joy and elation, and he was telling her, you know, how she was like a daughter to him. And so, you know, same person in spirit, one coming through depressed, the other coming through joyful, and yet at the exact same moment. It's because there are both of those people within my father. You know,
right.
Just as any one of us can be in a big argument with somebody, and then the phone can ring, and we can pick up and go, oh, hi.
Change, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, I have to say, I can't believe we're out of time. This has been an awesome hour sharing this conversation with you.
Well, same here. Thank you so much. And thanks for sharing your stories, because I love to hear these new stories. I can never get enough of them. And you've had some great ones. And I'm so grateful to you for having me on.
Well, I am definitely thankful for the opportunity. And once again, your book, Answers About the Afterlife, A Private Investigator's 15-Year Research Unlocks the Mysteries of Life After Death, is a wonderful compilation of questions that you have responded to, and no doubt, as you indicated before, that in the beginning you were a little skeptical, and even sharing and learning and growing as you did, and these were information that you've conveyed to others, and it's just part of your consciousness, and that's what I love, because, you know, the more that we can just honestly and freely share our perception, our beliefs, recognizing that not everyone will it resonate with this, but it does plant the seeds of discovery and plants the seeds so that others will do their own research. But knowing that we're not alone, and that this journey that we're on, there is an afterlife based on my beliefs and your beliefs, and that there is no need to have the fear, but definitely, most definitely, recognizing to be conscious of how you choose to conduct your life and how you choose to respond and react to challenges that may be presented to you, because in turn you will feel those in that afterlife review.
Exactly. So very well said. And I will say, if anybody wants to get a sample of the book, BobOlson.com, you can spell it either way, but BobOlson.com is, they can download the introduction for free and get a sample of what my writing is like and what that can be. And it sort of tells you what the whole book is going to be about. But really the best place I'm finding for people to buy the book is on Amazon, because they get it so quickly. Some other places like Barnes & Noble, I guess they're taking a lot longer. So.
Yes, well, you have Afterlife TV as well, and so if you want to take a moment just to share what you do with that for those unfamiliar.
Afterlife TV, I get to interview a lot of authors and experts and people who have had experiences, like near-death experiences, on there. And we do it by video, so you can kind of see them and see their body movements and get to know what they're like. And so it's something that I just do because I really enjoy it, kind of like you do with this show, Shelley.
Yes, perfect. And lastly, you have bestpsychicmediums.com, which you've actually tested, the mediums that are on your site, and then you also have bestpsychicdirectory.com as well.
That's right. And bestpsychicdirectory.com, Shelley, which you are on, thank you so much for honoring me with your presence. Everybody is screened and approved, and it's very difficult to get on there. The people who are on there, we have about 800 psychics and mediums right now, so it's a great place if people are looking for someone.
Well, it's definitely a good resource, too, because I will tell you, a lot of people that do the Google search, and I'm in Oklahoma, they find me through your website, so it's an honor to be a part of it.
Thank you so much. That's great to hear. I appreciate that.
Yes. Well, Bob, thank you once again for joining me today for this conversation.
Well, thank you again. I'm a new fan of Shelley Wilson. I'll tell you what, I'm gonna be listening to your show from now on. So thanks again.
Okay. Well, thank you, Bob. You have an awesome day.
All right. You too. Bye bye now.
Okay. Well, listeners, once again, I invite you to visit BobOlson.com. His book, Answers About the Afterlife, A Private Investigator's 15-Year Research Unlocks the Mysteries of Life After Death, is available, and I do highly recommend it. I just added it to my recommended resources today. My website is ShelleyRWilson.com, ShelleyRWilson.com. My books, 28 Days to a New You, Connect to the You Within, and Journey into Consciousness, are available in ebook and paperback. The course that I just taught at Lilydale, Creating the Life You Desire, will be available very soon online. So I do invite you to follow me on Facebook. I have Shelley Wilson. The URL is Intuitive Medium Shelley. And I also have one for each of my books. So thank you very much for joining me today. This concludes today's segment of The Shelley Wilson Show. Until next time, remember, this is your time. I encourage you to live an authentic life, be the best you can be, and love yourself in the process. Much love and many blessings to each of you.